Mark chapter number 9. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the... We just talked about in Sunday school that the church is not a building, it's the people. But boy, there's something about the building is referred to as the house of the Lord and the church of God in the Bible. And so there's something about the church. There's something about... I grew up in this church. If you're visiting, I've been the pastor for 23 years, but my dad started the church 40 years ago, and so I grew up in this church. I'll be 49 here in a couple of months, but I thank God for this church. And I know people can get saved on their doorstep, and I know people can get saved at grandma's house, but how many of you got saved at a church, at an altar, in a Sunday school class? I mean, look around. How many people got saved at church? And so I'm blessed. Because as a pastor and getting to lead this church all these years, but then I got saved right here at this altar. And just wonderful. My wife and I, I've talked in the past about, well, one of these days, maybe we could tear this whole auditorium down and build something new, or maybe we sell all this and move to a new property, or, you know, whatever the Lord would lead. And she'll often tell me those things like, you know, how can you lose what all the stuff that happened in this building right here? And man, no doubt about it. I was saved at this altar when my dad was preaching, just like today. And he gave an invitation, just like I'll give in a little while. And I stood there. I stood there as a religious person, as a churchy person. And tried to weigh it, tried to explain it away. But I knew I did not have peace in my heart about going to heaven when I died, which meant I was on my way to hell. And boy, I'm so glad back in the summer of 1997, when as a 21-year-old young man, already in Bible college, and knowing God had called me to preach. You can get with God on that if you want to when you get to heaven. But I believe Jeremiah was called and saved and all that at the same time. But man, I knew teaching a junior boys Sunday school class that I was lost. I didn't know the Lord. And I could give you scriptures and I could tell you all about Jesus and... But I had never made it personal. And I'm so thankful for the day that it didn't matter to me what anybody thought anymore. I was going to get it settled. And man, I skipped the altar workers. I went straight to the pastor. And he's dad. And I waited for him like preachers do. Ask a few questions during the invitation. And then once he got done with that, I was just kind of standing there while people were praying. I went up and I grabbed him and said, "Dad, I need to get it settled." And I'm so thankful that... He didn't say, "Well, son, you're going to embarrass me." Or he didn't say, "Well, son, you're in Bible college." Or, "Well, son, come on, I remember when that happened. You got to be saved. I'm so glad that we knelt." And I kind of laugh when the song says, "These old worn out floors and all." I think, man, it ain't worn out anymore. We got pretty nice stuff. But I remember the old chairs that would sit here and the old paneling auditorium we had. And man, we knelt right there at that chair. And I got it settled. I got it. Now, let me say this. And I'm going to preach on hell today, and if there's one message that gets people to questioning their salvation, it's a message on hell. Yes, sir. I just want to remind all of you in here, because there are some personalities that you doubt a lot of things. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You didn't earn it. You haven't been earning it. You're not waiting to see one day if you get in. You are either saved or you are lost. And if God dealt with your heart about a need for salvation at a point in your life and you realize you were a sinner, you needed to be saved, and somebody told you about Jesus, and you saw Him not as just a factual person, but you saw Him as your personal Savior. And there with a gospel tract or a Bible and some scriptures, and someone read a little bit to you, or you heard a preacher preach or a teacher teach, and maybe you went to this altar, maybe you went home and talked to mom at night or talked to dad or grandma or whoever, and right there that you talked to them about, "I know I need to be saved," and you called upon the Lord and asked Him to save you. Friend, listen, the Bible says if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. God knows that was the moment you got saved. And so I don't want you to doubt it because of a hard message. This is the hardest message that a preacher will preach, because we don't really like the fact that hell exists. And we don't really want anyone to go there. But I hope this morning, if you're a church member or a visitor, I hope you'll realize that if the Bible says that, it's true. Mark chapter number 9, let's stand together. Man, I was baptized in this church. Somebody sent me a clip of over at Auburn where they don't amen right here, but somebody sent me a clip this week of over at Auburn University where they had like 200 people baptized, and some of you maybe saw that on the news, and they were all fired up, and I'm not criticizing what they did by any means, but that baptism didn't save anybody. I hope that those young people trusted Christ as their Savior and then went out there and publicly identified with Christ. We'll baptize some in a minute. And that's just identifying with Christ, saying, hey, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I'm not afraid to let people know it, that my old self is dead. I'm rising up to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. But baptism won't get you to heaven. No club will get you to heaven. Being a Baptist won't get you to heaven. And no other religion can get you to heaven. I cannot get you to heaven. Some other bishop or priest or pope or preacher cannot get you to heaven. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 43. The Bible says here in Mark 9 and verse number 43, what we're about to read here is about how bad hell is. Jesus said, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. You cannot go into a place that does not exist. Into the fire. That does not say into eternal separation from God, though it is. It's also a place of fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. He doesn't say go have surgery and get it done right and get some painkillers. He's saying, cut your hand off, cut your foot off. He's not telling us to go do those things. What he's saying is, don't you let anything cause you to go to hell. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Last Sunday morning, I preached on what I love about heaven, and what an easy message to preach and what an encouraging message to hear. This morning, I want to preach on what I hate about hell. What I hate about hell, if you're saved and you know that you're saved, I want you to be praying. Be thankful you don't have to go there. And I want you to be praying that if there's just anyone in this room maybe that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that they'll get it settled today. But I want you also as a Christian to be praying that God would give you more of a burden for lost people. And get out there this week and do something about it if you really believe there's a burning lake of fire. What I hate about hell. Let's pray. God, would you bless the message today? Lord, give me courage, but Lord, give me compassion. And I pray, God, that today you'll speak to hearts. Move in our midst. Please, Lord, come work in our hearts today. And we'll thank you for what you're doing. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday, as I said, we talked about heaven. We explored many scriptures and what they had to say about heaven. And I'm thankful that I believe the Bible, and I believe that heaven is a real place. And I believe that heaven is a beautiful place. And I believe that heaven is a place of rest and joy and peace. And I believe that heaven is where Christians will live in the presence of the Lord forever. If you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, then your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you can rejoice today in the fact that one day you'll be in heaven for eternity. One time in Luke chapter number 10, Jesus' disciples came to him. And they were rejoicing because some good things had happened there in ministry. But the truth is, you know, we're not always going to have good days, and we're going to have some hard times, and we're going to have some valleys in our life and some problems in our life. But what he told them was, once they said, hey, we had a wonderful day in ministry and even the devils are subject unto us. What he told them was, in this rejoice not, He didn't want them to not rejoice over people being saved. I mean, the Bible says there's joy in heaven in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents. But what he was saying was, it's not always going to be good stuff happening in your life. So he said, in this rejoice not, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And friend, listen, if you're saved, if you remember the day you trusted Christ as Savior and called upon Him to save you, no matter what else happens in your life, and even on the worst of days here on this earth, you can still wake up and rejoice because you know that your name is written in heaven. As much as I can give you a list of what I love about heaven, I can also give you a list of what I hate about hell. If your name is not written in heaven, the Bible tells us that you'll have to spend forever in a place called hell or the lake of fire. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 20, the very back of the book. And Revelation chapter 20, and maybe you've heard the song or the phrase before used that says, I've read the back of the book and we win. And I think maybe we even talked about that last week. But I'll be honest with you, there's another story at the back of the book. And if you die in this life without Christ, no church is going to be able to get you out of hell. No preacher is going to be able to get you out of hell. No offering given by your family is going to be able to get you out of hell. You must get this settled before the day of your death comes. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and in verse number 12, John the Revelator, as God's allowing him to see into the future, he said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You see, we're born sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our sin debt had to be paid. And Jesus paid the debt when He became sin for us on the cross of Calvary. But if you refuse Him as Savior and refuse to trust Him and call upon Him to save you, you will be judged one day according to those sinful works before you're cast in the lake of fire for eternity. The Bible says, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I've had the fortune of being able to go to Hawaii a couple of times, and we've been there when the volcano is somewhat active, and at night you can go and you can see the lava and you can see the lava flow, and you can't help but think about that is a lake of fire, and it devours everything in its path. But I'll show you today that the lake of fire that is for eternity does not devour. The lake of fire that is for eternity, it torments you at night and day, the Bible says, forever and ever. Often we'll make statements like this. Well, if God says something in His Bible, pay attention. But if He says it twice, you better really pay close attention. Well, sometimes in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, mostly Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're known as the synoptic gospels. So many of the stories are the same stories, but told by a different person and as the events happen. And so you can read, as we read our text there in Mark, about it's better to go into life maimed than to go into the lake of fire whole. You can read that also being told over in the book of Matthew. But this is how serious I see this idea of hell, and the truthfulness of hell is it's not just that you read it in Mark, but then Matthew also tells the same story through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. When you get in the book of Matthew, Jesus is telling two different groups this same story. He really wanted people to know that there's a hell that you want to stay out of it. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and verse number 29, He said, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So if we read it there, we'd say, okay, that's the same story that Mark tells, but yet in Matthew, we see it twice, meaning it was two different groups and he's preaching on hell. He said in Matthew 18 and verse number 8, "Wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halter maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." Again, he's not saying go do those things. It's not some kind of psychotic cult or something. What he's trying to impress upon them is how bad hell really is. You don't hear a whole lot of preaching about hell today. It's an undesirable subject. But Jesus knew all about hell, and he preached and he warned people not to go there. So today I must remind us all that while there is a heaven to gain, there is also a hell to shun. And just as much as heaven is a real place, hell is a real place. So I want to give you straight from the Word of God what I hate about hell. And by the way, I'm not trying to be offensive to you, but just because some Catholic council gets together and decides to change what is sin and what is not, and what the view of hell is and what is not, that does not change the eternal Word of God. Let me tell you what I hate about hell. Number one is this. I hate the fact that it exists in the first place. Hate that we even have to preach on it. I mean, it could have just been that God said, you know, if you'll trust Christ as your Savior, then you get to go to this place called paradise. You get to go to this place called heaven. And if you don't trust Christ, you just go to the grave. Okay, so it could have just happened like that. But the Bible says there is a hell. When it speaks of perishing, we'll see it in a moment. When it speaks of perishing, it's talking about dying and suffering in hell for eternity. The Bible tells us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, his demons, his the fallen angels. It was not prepared for mankind, but the Bible makes it crystal clear. It's where you have to go if you reject Christ as your Savior. Well, you know the world we live in today. Many opinion polls have been taken over the years, asking how many people believed in a literal burning hell. Before I became pastor, I worked for Frito-Lay. Out here in Elmo, you see, or on the way to Elmo, you see the warehouse there on the side of the road. And that I used to work. I worked for Frito-Lay for about 4 or 5 years here in Northwest Arkansas. I love the job. I was in Brookshire's yesterday and I walked by, started straightening up the chips a little bit. All these years later, I love the job. I like things to be done right. But I was in a store in Terrell, one of the convenience stores, putting some chips in way back in the year 2000. And they used to have the magazine rack there. This was January 31st of 2000, and it's got what people think is a picture here of the devil. And boy, he's in beach shorts, and I don't really cutting him. I feel like I'm stressing my voice. If you turn that up just a little bit, or if it gets too loud, you can turn it down. But I know you got a real man preaching today. I know Wednesday night was a little bit different, but I'm just kidding. But it could just be allergy stuff. But now I don't know what the rhino is supposed to mean on the back there, but had to make sure it wasn't a cigarette advertisement or something. So, kids, today I'm going to read. But it says, "Hell, a new vision of the netherworld." And boy, look at this guy here. He's got his beach shorts. Oh, I guess this is a devil, and he's got some kind of a mixed drink there. And boy, they're just having a good old time. And I've read this 2 or 3 times over the years. I've kept it. And the title is "Hell Hath No Fury." And what they're saying is, because people don't believe it exists any longer, the hell that used to be preached, it's just not there. It does not matter what your opinion is or what my opinion is. You know, the number one thing I hate about hell is that teenagers go there. It's that moms and dads go there. And grandmas and grandpas go there. And Baptist people go there. And Church of Christ people go there, and Catholics go there, and Lutheran go there, and Methodists go there, and religious people go there, and good people go there. I'll be honest with you, I'd love to preach on heaven every week. I don't like to preach on hell. What do I hate about hell? I hate the fact that it even exists. Back in these days, the opinion was, the question was to some Americans, the question was, How many of you believe in hell? And only 64% of people believe that there was a literal hell. The same type of opinion poll was taken this year, in May of this year. And now that's dropped down to 58% of people that even believe there's a hell. And when they say they believe there's a hell, not all of them even believe that it's a burning, literal, burning, fiery place. Friend, listen to me. I'm not trying to be ugly. It does not matter what our opinion is. The fact that hell exists, no opinion poll has ever changed the truth of God's Word. Jesus said it's better for you. Better for you to cut your hand off. It's better for you to cut your foot off. It's better for you to pluck an eye out. And he says, then to go into hell, into the fire. I hate the fact that that hell exists in the first place. Can I tell you the second thing that I hate about hell? I hate the fact that people go there when they didn't have to. Turn to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. I read a story the other day. I don't really have news on TV or any of that, so I just have the app, and I'll read Channel 5 in Dallas. I'll read their articles, and Fox News, I'll read some of their articles, and just kind of. But there was an article out about a lady with some small children that was suing all of these folks, and really rightly so. And she was suing, I guess, Google Earth or Google Maps or whatever, the Google company, because her husband was driving home in the rain and the dark, and that GPS led him off a bridge that was out into a river, and he drowned. He died. Yeah, does that not make you nervous? Those of you that follow GPS, we might want to get that MapQuest out again. Where do we turn? I don't know. I'm going to page 23D. Yeah. And he died. And she said, I mean, the map said go that way. And she's suing the construction companies because she said there were no cones out. It's crazy. There was nothing blocking the way. And I thought, well, she's right to sue on that. I mean, good grief. A friend, listen to me. Are you listening? I'm trying to tell you today there is a hell. And I'm standing between you and hell and saying you don't have to go there. You're going to perish. I hate the fact that it even exists, but it does exist. And I also hate the fact that people will live and die and burn for eternity in hell when they did not have to. Nicodemus came to Jesus. In John chapter 3, he was a religious Pharisee, so he knew the law, he knew the Bible, if you will, and he was a religious man and tried to obey the law of God and do what God wanted him to do. But Jesus knew his heart, and he came to Jesus and said, basically saying, who are you? Because, I mean, no one could do the miracles that you do except he was sent by God. God knew what he was really searching for. Jesus said this, Nicodemus, you must be born again. We're all born of water. We're all born by mama. But we need to be born again. We need to be born spiritually. We need to be born again like the day we trust Christ as our Savior. He goes on to talk to Nicodemus there in John 3 in some of the most familiar verses in the Bible. But he says in verse 16, for God so loved the world. You can put your name in there. God loved you. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That says nothing about working your way to heaven. That says nothing about being moral enough or ethical enough. That says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The word perish, by definition, means to be lost eternally. But not only that, it means to be sentenced to endless misery. Well, that's why the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, it tells us that, you know, there are going to be people that scoff at this kind of stuff. There are going to be people that mock, that say religion is just a crutch to get you weak minds through this life. And they'll say stuff like this, that, well, I've heard this all of my life. Jesus is coming back. You better get right. Guess what? He hadn't come back for us yet. But guess the one thing that is a fact is I see new people in the obituaries every day. And if the Lord tarries his coming, your picture and mine is going to be in an obituary one day. And at that moment, we will either have accepted Christ in this life and be with the Lord. We saw that last week, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Or we will have lost our life and lost our opportunity to be saved, and we will perish eternally, being endless misery. And that's why the response to the mockers, Jesus said this. The Word of God said this. God said this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. God's not lying to us about coming back. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's putting up with a whole lot right now in this world. Why is He doing that? Why does He just come back? Here's why. Not willing that any should perish. Not willing that anyone should have to go to hell and suffer forever. He says, but that all should come to repentance. You know what I hate about hell? I hate the fact that it exists in the first place. You know what I hate about hell? I hate the fact that people go there when they didn't have to. You know what I also hate about hell? I hate the fact of how bad hell really is. I heard a preacher say one time, well, you shouldn't get saved just because hell scares you. I mean, you should trust Christ. I think that's an excellent reason to be saved. To not want to burn in this place, the Bible says, let me read it to you again. Luke chapter 9, where our text was, I'm just going to read you some phrases here that I underlined. Go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 44, the fire is not quenched. Verse 45, into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 46, the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, cast into hell fire. Verse 48, the fire is not quenched. Friend, I'm not making this up, and I don't want to make it up, and I don't want to have to preach this, but I must warn you that the bridge is out, but yet there's a different way, and that way is the cross of Calvary. And God wants you to be saved today, and you don't have to perish and live in misery for eternity. Now, I know you're just like me. We can't picture eternity. We're used to time. Man, I grilled some chicken last night and some sausage. We had some baked potatoes in the oven. Amen. We got it done. Man, I'm looking forward to going home and having a... I've been gone all week, and then she was gone this weekend. And I'm looking forward to the time when we go home for lunch. So when the Bible says forever in heaven, forever in hell, I'm just like you. I'm going, I can't even wrap my mind around that. Here's what we do, though. We just take God at His word. And say, I'm not going to a casket to dwell forever and ever and ever. I'm going somewhere when I die. Look at Luke chapter 16 with me. Hell is not a place where you go and die. Hell is not just an eternal separation from God. Hell is a real place where those that are lost forever, and where they are tormented forever and ever. The Bible says in Luke 16, I just want you to see, I'm going to jump right in the middle of the passage, but what happened here is God basically allowed a microphone to be dropped into hell. This is a real story, a real person. And look what's happening in Luke 16 and verse 23. This fellow wants out. Luke 16, 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Look up here at me. Let me read it to you. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Does that look like... Do you think the world today thinks hell is a place of torments? They think hell is a campfire. But the Bible still says hell is real and a place of torments. And he seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Listen to how bad it is. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The word torment means extreme pain. It means anguish. It means the utmost degree of misery. What I want to say to you this morning, you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. Well, I've been in this church forever. I'm embarrassed to let people know that I'm down. Why? I did it. Well, I'm new to this church and there's a lot of crazy stuff in religion today. I'll be the first one to tell you there's a lot of crazy stuff in religion today. But we're just a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church. Someone loves you enough to invite you to church today. And it could be that it's God wanting you to be saved. What do I hate about hell? I hate the fact of how bad hell really is. Can I give you a fourth one, and that's this? I hate the fact that good people have to be there with horrible people. I hate the fact that good people have to be there with horrible people. Now, we know that the devil is going to be in hell. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I saw a headline the other day about Jeffrey Dahmer. Some of you remember his name from decades ago now, and it just, man, I wanted to get into it. I wouldn't even read the story because I thought that's going to be so nasty and so wicked and so vile, and I'm not even going to be able to sleep at night if I read that. But, oh man, he would murder, he would molest, he would sodomize, he was a cannibal. I mean, it was a mess. And he's going to be in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know about you. I don't have any patience for someone that would molest a child. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'd be the first one to call the cops on you. There are certain things I can help. There are certain things I cannot help. And there are going to be some people that molest the children all their life. They're going to be burning in hell forever and ever and ever. All this transgender stuff. And I'm born a man, but I'm going to dress like a lady. And I'm born a lady, but I'm going to dress like a man. And all of a sudden, all those folks listen. I'm glad that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if those people don't repent and trust Christ as their Savior, so all of the most vile, wicked things we are seeing in the world today, they're going to be in hell. But what I hate about it is not, I hate that they have to die and go to, I hate that, but they're choosing to reject Christ. But I hate the fact that all of those horrible people in hell, that good people are going to be there with them. I'm talking about hardworking people. I'm talking about well-meaning people. I'm talking about church-going people. I'm talking about people who read their Bible maybe every day. But they got religion, but they missed the Redeemer. They knew the program, but they never made it personal. And I'm not making this up. God said it. He said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just because we use the language of church. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And John 6:40 tells us the will of his Father that people believe on Christ. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? So we're talking about preachers being in hell. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. I taught a class. I kept a nursery. I invited folks to church. I was a part of this group and this club. And I passed out Bibles and I passed out gospel tracts. Hey, don't I deserve to get in, God? And the Bible says, Jesus said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You must be saved. You must be born again. I hate the fact of how bad hell really is. But I hate the fact that good people have to be there with horrible people, straight out of church pews, straight out of religion, because they never made it personal. They never really prayed and asked God to save them. And it's not the prayer that saves you. It's the faith that saves you. But call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What I hate about hell, I hate the fact that it even exists. I hate the fact that people go there when they didn't have to. I hate the fact of how horrible hell is. I really hate the fact that good people have to go there with a lot of really vile, wicked people. Can I give you another one? I hate the fact that hell is growing. Apparently from the Scriptures, hell is growing. All right, so we didn't spend a lot of time on the measurements and the looks and all of heaven last week, but I think I told you that city coming down from God. But you know what it had? Exact measurements. But the Bible says this about hell. I'm going to read you a little bit of background here in Isaiah. The Bible says in Isaiah 5, verse 11, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feast." Now the whole thing, the drinking, the partying, life's one big party. And it says this, "But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity." He's talking about Israel there. "But because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, their multitude dried up with thirst." He's saying they wanted nothing to do with God. And the next phrase that says this, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself." Let me give you one last thing I hate about hell. I hate the fact that it's forever. You go to jail, you do your time and you get out and find that redemption. But once you're in hell, you're condemned. You're in torment forever, and there is no getting out. That same fellow who said, "Abraham, please send somebody. I just need a little bit of water. I'm in torment in this flame." He knew how to be saved. He knew how to stay out of hell. He just chose to ignore it until the day he died. Because listen to what he says in Luke 16. Again, he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." And Abraham said, "Son, remember." How many people are going to be burning in a lake of fire with a memory, and they're going to remember the time they had a chance? The time that God was knocking at their heart door. The time that God was tugging at them and saying, "This is your day of salvation. This is your invitation. This is your opportunity." He said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things." But he said, "Now he is comforted and thou art tormented." It wasn't who had a good life, who had a bad, they get to go to heaven, they have to go to hell. It's not that. He said, "All you did was trust in your riches and your stuff. You lived your life the way you wanted to. Lazarus had nothing. Lazarus was poor. But you know what he did do? He was rich. He found those unsearchable riches of Christ. He understood the richness of God's grace and His mercy. He called upon the Lord to save him and said, "Now," Abraham says, "there's nothing I can do for you now. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot." If somebody from heaven tried to pull someone out of hell, they couldn't. "Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." He said, there is no escaping hell. Hell is so terrible that even those that are there in hell are begging you today not to go there. Someone may make a foolish statement. "Well, our family wasn't raised this way, so I guess if that stuff's true, then my dad's in hell today, or my mom's in hell, or my grandparents in hell. I guess I'll just go there too." Oh, this fellow in hell had something more to say. He said, when Abraham said, "You can't get out," then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them," like I'm doing today, "lest they also come into this place of torment." And Abraham saith unto them, "They have Moses and the prophets." What he was saying there was, they have the Bible, they have the Word of God. "Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." Preacher, if you could pull somebody out of hell today, and that charred body, and that tormented body, and they stood before us, then I'd believe in hell. If you could bring somebody back from heaven today, and they stood here talking about the glories of heaven, and the beauty of heaven, and the wonders of heaven, then I would believe. And Abraham said this, he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe, will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." It's childlike faith. It's just taking God at His word and saying, you know what? That's not a place I want to be. And if Jesus will save my soul, I'm going to call upon Him today and ask Him to save me. Isaiah 14:9 says this, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. There was an old preacher, Jonathan Edwards, been nearly 300 years ago now, up in the Northeast, up in New England, in Massachusetts. And he preached a sermon entitled, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. They say that he didn't even preach. He just read his message. People were clinging to the pews. People were running to the altar. People were wanting to be saved. This is one excerpt from his message. He said, the pit is prepared. The fire is made ready. The furnace is now hot, ready to receive them. The flames do now rage and glow. The glittering sword is wet and held over them. And the pit has opened her mouth under them. He goes on to say, oh, sinner, consider the fearful danger that you are in. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Doesn't have to happen. He said, preacher, I don't believe that. You're choosing not to believe that. We've got to get back to a place in this world where we believe what the Bible says. I want you to be saved today. Young person, I want you to be saved. I'm going to help the altar workers out. This is not hard. You and I were born sinners, lost and on our way to hell. The wages of sin is death. That word death speaks of the same thing as perishing. We're all going to die one day because of the sin in the Garden of Eden. But there's more to it. The second death is those that have to die one day and spend an eternity perishing in hell in the lake of fire. It's because we're sinners. We were born that way. Sinners by birth, but we're also sinners by choice. But I love the fact the Bible tells us Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I was able to see my son the other day. He drove down to Knoxville, Tennessee to visit with him on Tuesday. Spent 5 hours with him. And everywhere we went, I said, I wanted to buy him a suit or something because his birthday is this week. And he's like his mom. They don't spend money. He's like, no, Dad, I'm good. And I said, Josh, come on, man. Let me at least buy you a dress shirt. Like, no, I'm good. I said, well, what about you need some pants, some slacks or something for college there? You need a suit coat? I'm good. And y'all know Josh, he wanted to buy a t-shirt with a fish on it. But I loved it because everywhere we went, he'd get his debit card out and say, Josh, I got it. And then we went somewhere else. And I said, man, can I? And he's like, Dad, but man, it's such and such dollars for 3 pair of socks. Is that too expensive? I said, no, it's not bad, but get it. If you need it, get it. I'm here to help you. I'm here to, you know. And we went to the register. I said, I bought a shirt. I said, put it up here, Josh. He's like, are you sure? And I took him to eat and we ate. And I said, man, get what you want. Order what you want. And the lady said, is it one check or two? I said, it's one check. I'll take the check. I said, hey, I've got it. Now, he could have fought with me over that. He could have stood there stubborn in his pride and said, you will not pay for this for me. And I would have said, okay. And you can say, I'm going to choose to chance it. I know Jesus paid all of my sin debt, but I'm going to do it my way. And we'll see how it ends. And God's being long-suffering with you, and He loves you enough to get you to church today. And all you need to do is admit you're a sinner. Admit you need to be saved. Let an altar work. They're just going to be here to show you one or two scriptures. I preached it all. All you need to do is say, you know what? I need what that preacher said. And you pray and say, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Save my soul. And you can get up and say, that was close. but I know I'm heaven bound. I did it after growing up in this church. I did it with the pastor as my dad. Because I know how bad hell is. I wouldn't go to hell for anyone.